The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
You just patted yourself on the back.
I'm losing you, buddy. I don't know what you're trying to say.
You're just so great. I love your show.
Am I close?
No.
Does that comfort you?
No.
I'm sorry, and I'm going to confess it, because I'm a holy guy.
I'm a little intimidated to talk to you, because you used a lot of big words.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
You came to the wrong place. You came to the wrong place if you're looking for deep answers.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
A little offended. Using magniloquent words. Eschewing obfuscation. From perusing voluminous eclectic tomes. Can't believe she said that. Good to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi, a proud graduate. Actually, the first-year class of Catholic Radio's School of, Articulation and Stuff. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL is the number if you'd like to get onto the program. If you'd like to have your say, whether it's a question about something in your life, whether it is a helpful comment, we get a lot of those, and those are great for folks who have called. You know, this could be your stepping stone to your own show, you know. It's what happened with me. I used to be a guest for a long time, and then somebody said, "You want a show?" I said, "No." But my wife pushed me into it. I think it was to get me away from home. And she's saying, "Can't you stay longer at the studio, Ray? Honey, I'm there 12 hours. Can't 15, maybe?" I don't know. I don't know how to read that message. 877-57-EQUAL if you'd like to get on the air to ask a question about the stuff of life. I'm a psychologist, spending more time at the office, seeing more people these days because I'm not on the road as much doing speaking engagements, although hopefully those will come back. I think when we get our feet back underneath us, those will come back, and maybe 2027 is when we'll be able to do that. Anything else? No, not yet. Have you heard of the law of diminishing returns? Wait, no. There was something else yet. Let me rewind on that. This is a letter that came in. Dr. Ray, I heard you talking the other day about articles telling people how to hug. Yeah, I did come across an article said, during the holidays, you can't have your hugs. No. So, and then they gave you a step-by-step formula on how to appropriately hug. Turn your face away, hug at a distance, ask the person if they want to be hugged, you know, all this stuff. Reminded me of something I heard a long time ago. I'm sure you can use it. It's right up your alley. Now, whenever somebody says something is right up my alley, I know it's going to be a comment on my corniness. It says here, when I was younger, grade school age, I was really shy. New girl enrolled at my school, and I had a crush on her. The emotion was so strong that I knew someday I would have to work up the courage to say hi. On the outside chance, as we got older, it would turn into romance, I went to the library, and I checked out a book entitled How to Hug. I ran home, anxious to read the book, only to find out it was the 12th volume of the Encyclopedia Britannica. get it? See, well, maybe some of you are too young to remember encyclopedias because they put on the spine of the book what topics they were dealing with through what letters of the alphabet. And, you know, the bigger encyclopedias didn't do a whole letter sometimes. They did partial letters. How to hug. All right, never mind. Law of diminishing returns. It basically says that there comes a point in any effort, any exercise, that, by the way, I knew we were going to get a question like that right away quick. Absolutely. Okay, no question about that. And I'm ready to address it. There comes a point in any effort that the more you put into it, the further behind you get. The law of diminishing returns. You're putting in more and more effort, whatever it is, in words, in action, in motivation. And it seems the more you do, the less the effect you get. You're falling behind. Parents know the law of diminishing returns. We parents are driven to explain to our children the motives behind our rules, behind our discipline, behind our expectations, behind our child rearing. And of course, our children generally don't agree with a lot of the stuff. You can't expect them to. They're kids. Why would a 9-year-old agree with the way a 34-year-old looks at conduct? So we got to explain, right? If we explain, they'll be cooperative. They'll look at us. Why, Mother? You make so much sense. I hadn't pondered it from that direction before. That's why there's this gap between you as the parent and me as the child. Love you. So, what do we do when it doesn't look like we're getting through? Well, we keep going. More of the same. I was your age, I used to walk 18 miles uphill both ways to school. And a foot of nuclear waste with no shoes. We had one pair of shoes for 14 brothers and sisters. My turn only came around every 2 weeks. Always gave my turn away. That's the kind of boy I was. Got up 5 o'clock in the morning. 2 hours before I was even allowed to go to bed. Walked to school. Grateful. Carried my brothers on my back. Did their homework along the way. You know something? I was a grateful child. I was a happy child. And of course, our kids are thinking, lecture number 102, subsection A. You don't realize how good you've got it. When I was a child, I was grateful for what all I didn't have. We think that a lecture meets its limit at about 47 minutes. Unfortunately, children believe a lecture reaches its limit at about... Let me tell you something there, young lady. And that's about where they start tuning us out. Am I saying you don't explain yourself? Oh, no, you can explain yourself. But don't keep explaining yourself. And don't explain yourself every time because thought you what? These guys always put some comment here in this computer screen. And I ignore it usually. Thought you... Every time, because we've already talked about why you don't punch your brother. I don't have to sit there every other day and tell you why you don't punch your brother. Why I won't tolerate your room looking like this. Why you can't have a cell phone. I'm not going to go through this. But then, when I got you cornered, and I keep going, I think I'm getting through. And the child says, Mother, had you stopped your lecture back at 24 minutes? I don't think I would have grasped what you're trying to say. But, sorry, I'm getting distracted by stuff being typed up there. Now that you went on for 47 minutes, I see clearly now. The rain is gone, to quote the song. Tom Price knows that. He knows all those songs. The law of diminishing returns applies to lectures. Make your case. If it's something you've been over before, make it quick. I'm not letting you go to that party. There's just not enough supervision there. That's it. Now, they're going to try to keep you going. Mom, you know the lady. She goes to church. I saw her in church levitating. That's the kind of parent she is. She's going to be there, she says. I don't really know who all's going to be there. I'll get you a list. I'll get it notarized. They're going to keep going. Which is why you have to stop the conversation at some point, because it's a law of diminishing returns. Somebody says there is a quote from Alice in Wonderland referring to the law of diminishing returns, the hurrier I go, the behinder I get. Yeah, that's true. The faster I talk, the slower I get through. That was my paraphrase. Watch the words. I know we're desperate to get the kids to understand why we're doing what we're doing. And we figure if we come at it from 19 different angles, it's going to, one of those angles is going to get through. That's the frustrating problem. Because what happens is, even if angle number 26 would have gotten through, it's too late. It's too late in the lecture. Maybe it had a chance if it would have been angle number 2 way back. So, law of diminishing returns. Try to catch yourself earlier in the torrent of words and recognize. You can recognize from the blank face. The kid's looking at you like, who are you? Oh, yeah, tape number 109. When I was your age, I was grateful for nothing that I got. That's all I got, but I was happy. 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal the number. Already we got some questions up there regarding, oh, us Catholics. They persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. So says, who said that? Who said that? I'm blanking. Oh, yeah, Jesus.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is The Logic of Catholicism. Solanus Casey said, appreciation is as necessary for social order and harmony as are the laws of gravity for the physical world. There are a lot of things we can't not know. Take gravity, for instance. When you put your foot down, it stays there, unless your spouse pulls out the rug you're standing on. Gravity is not just a good idea, of course. It's the law, a natural law. And you can't change natural laws. They are what keeps the universe in order. For instance, gravity reminds you not to step off a cliff without suffering painful and life-threatening consequences. Ah, law and order. Something to appreciate. Today, tell someone you appreciate God's laws and His order that keeps you grounded. And that's the logic of Catholicism. Explore more at AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
I'm doing the boogaloo right now. The jerk. The jerk is a dance I really did well. I identified with it. Dr. Ray Garendi, thanks for joining me here, and the doctor is in. Well, I knew we were going to get these kind of calls right off the chute. Kind of glad, too. My sister was questioning me about this. She didn't understand it. Of course, it has come out in the media. Now, right away, quick. You got to be a little bit nervous about how the secular media portrays things. They clearly have an agenda. They clearly want to say things that make for good sound bites and can essentially say the Catholic Church is indeed coming along with us. The Catholic Church agrees with us. So that's the first thing. You don't go run screaming into the woods because the secular media reports something that the Pope said or a bishop said or the Catholic Church supposedly thinks. They've been wrong so many times. They're not even close because they don't understand religion. And what little they do understand, they misrepresent. So, Tommy here says, my thoughts. He'd like my thoughts on the Pope's recent comments, seeming to nod toward civil unions. Now, Tommy doesn't really want my thoughts. He'd like my words. Because if I have my thoughts, this doesn't do him any good. Because I'll just sit here in silence. And I'll say, there you go, Tommy. You got my thoughts. See you later. Tommy, what's up?
Hey, Dr. Ray. First of all, enjoy listening to you. I'm in my car right now. And I've been listening to you for, I guess, ever since we've been with EWTN. So it's an honor to speak with you and talk to you. But yeah, you know, I turned a young 80 years old last month. And,
you're just a pup, Tommy. You're just a pup.
I know. Amen. Well, Moses went to work when he was 80, so you know. So I feel like I'm in that maybe that age category. But I don't know. I like you say, the news media, you can't believe anything you hear in the news media today, unless from EWTN. And I just, the scriptures that I read that Paul wrote about, men with men and women with women, you know, and now if I understand it correctly, the Pope is going to, what's the word I want to use, honor their marriage, and it just makes me want to, you know, it's really upsetting to me when I listen to that.
Okay, now see, Tommy, this is exactly, and I'm so glad you put it this way, because this is exactly what the media is portraying this as all about. And this is what's shaking up and confusing a lot of people. The Pope is not a CEO. He's not somebody that says, okay, new teaching. This is the way we're going to do it now. That's the way we did it before, but we're going to do it different now. He can't do that. He can't change centuries of Catholic moral understanding.
Okay.
Here's the simplest way to interpret this. He said some things, and who knows what the context was. I don't know what the context was. I don't trust the media as they pull it out of context. But even at that, even if it was clear that he said, we really need to consider same-sex unions to protect the rights of those who are together in that kind of civil relationship, that kind of same-sex relationship. Even if he said that, that's his opinion. That's not Catholic Church teaching. That is his opinion. And if you look at stuff he said in the past, clearly he has a very high view of God-ordained marriages. So as I looked into this, when I first heard it, I was like the rest of people. I'm like, shook up. What is this? What is he saying? This is confusing. I looked further into it. I realized the simplest answer, Tommy, is that as a pope, he can say things. That doesn't make them Catholic teaching. Makes them something that that we're supposed to give credence to and listen to and ponder. But it is not, that's it. There's new teaching, which is what the media wants you to believe, because they don't understand how Catholicism protects what our Lord has given us. And a lot of my Protestant friends, they don't know. They're looking at this going, what is with you Catholics? You guys are just bouncing all over the place morally. No, this is the media taking something the Pope has said as he pondered it, as maybe perhaps he even recommended it. I don't know. I don't know the context. But that's not church teaching. And it isn't something where all of a sudden all the bishops are going to go, okie dokie, all righty, got new direction. Here we go. That is
Dr. Ray, do you know, are there any documents that have been issued by the popes in the past that address this homosexual marriage situation?
I believe so. Now, maybe not directly same-sex marriage, so-called marriage, because that was not anything that any society ever looked at, recently.
That's right.
So, you go to Tim Staples with Catholic Answers. He's very up on this stuff. And I know some of the folks at EWTN are too, okay?
Ken Staples, okay.
Tim Staples and Colin Donovan and Father Mitch Pacwa and any person that you trust to have a very faithful Orthodox view of Catholic teaching, go to them and they will explain. There was a guest on Catholic Answers just recently said, hey, wait a minute, let's take a deep breath here. Let's take a deep breath. Let's not go running off like the media does. Yay! Okay! The Catholics are getting with it. That was the Pope's thinking out loud about things. And we'll see if or where it goes. I suspect it's not going to go anywhere, but that's just my opinion.
It's interesting that it came out right about.
Yeah, that's yes. Isn't it interesting? Especially where supposedly the Pope was quoted as calling Donald Trump not a Christian.
And
that was part of all that. So I don't. I have to acknowledge that I don't understand that. So, but he's the Pope. All righty.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Dr.
Tommy.
Ray.
All right, buddy. Okay. I can go there. Pamela from Detroit says, people think we are cult followers. Right, Pamela?
That's correct. And basically what you're talking about right now is part of the dark umbrella of the attack going on. And so, yeah, opinion-wise, your thoughts on how to peacefully respond to that kind of thing.
Well, let me get rid of this pretzel. When somebody uses inflammatory language like that, you guys are nothing but followers of a cult. That's all you are. You're just blind sheep. What do you mean by cult followers? Help me understand that. Explain that to me. What is a cult follower? Well, you just blindly do what you're told. And who's telling us? Who's telling the Pope? He just tells you, and then you just turn and do it. How'd you get that opinion? Where did that come from? Well, I could see what you people do, how you act, whatever he tells you. So, if I tell you that I believe that Jesus established a church and it has authority because he gave it to her, you'd call that a cult? Is that what you're saying? That it's a cult? Tell me your definition of a cult. What is a cult? So, in other words, make them explain this rather inflaming accusation. Make them explain it. You don't have to say, I'm not a cult follower. I don't do it. And they'll look at you like, yeah, there you are. See what I mean? The mere fact that you're denying you're a cult follower means you're a cult follower. So what I would do, Pamela, is I'd just sit back and go, okay.
Yes.
Tell me how I am. Tell me how I am. I want to know how I am. I want to know how you've decided that I'm just a blind follower.
Perfect.
All right, sweetie.
I mean, appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Well, I want to say one thing, though. I want to correct you. It wasn't perfect. It was probably pretty good, or maybe fair. I don't know if it was perfect. I'll have to think about that. But if you want to call it perfect, I'll take it.
It's a calmer. I'll say that.
Thanks, Pamela. See you, dear.
Thanks.
Bye. Oh, come on. I do not need patronizing laughter on this program. I don't need fake laughter to make it sound like I said something funny. Got that? The people in my audience know whether it was funny or not, and most of them don't. Who was it? I got an email yesterday where the lady said something to the effect that, you know, thank you for your show. I really like your show. But she goes, I don't like it. I didn't like it when I first started hearing it. I always want to say, well, why'd you keep listening? What for? 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal. That's the number to call to get onto the program. If you have some questions that are confusing you about life, about faith, about people, about situations, or if you have something that can help somebody, me included, understand better that which rattles us, whether it be in our faith, in our lives, or in our ability to play softball. 877-57 equal.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is Evidences for Christianity. New Testament critics claim that the similarities between stories and the Gospels is evidence of collusion, and therefore the Gospels are a fraud. But if that were true, why are there obvious differences that real collusion could have covered up? For example, at Jesus' tomb, was there one angel, as recorded in Matthew, a young man, which we find in Mark, two men, so says Luke, or two angels, as in John's account? Differences like these are not contradictions, but strong evidences that over the centuries, the different accounts were held in such high esteem that the Gospels have not been fixed, a fact that only adds to their credibility. And that's evidence for the authenticity of Christianity. To explore more, go to AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John the Apostle records the John chapter 6 Bread of Life discourse, in which Jesus states that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. Who better to understand John's writings and subsequent teachings than a disciple and student of John, St. Ignatius of Antioch? In his letter to the Smyrnians in 110 AD, Ignatius writes, "I have no taste for corruptible food, nor for the pleasures of this life. I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire his blood, which is love incorruptible." The Catholic Church absolutely follows St. John and St. Ignatius in taking Jesus at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Oh, that's summer music. That's summer music, you know. Not really a good thing to play right now. It's kind of cold. 877-573-7825. As always, there is a certain mindset that says you have to call at the top of the program to get on. And I repeat this often. You don't. You call, and there is a good likelihood you'll get on depending upon your question, depending upon whether it makes me look smart. And there's very few questions that can make me look smart. But if there is one, I put it right to the front. So please, if you call anytime during the program, I don't want to say you have an equal chance, but it's pretty close. It is pretty close. Michael dropped. I wanted to take Michael's question because we can grab this from several different angles, so I'm going to address it anyway. He says, "I don't know how anyone can say that Donald Trump is a Christian." Now, I'm going to take this a little further. If Michael himself says he's a Christian, then he risks going against one of our Lord's commands. Do not judge. Meaning, do not judge the state of a soul. So if you say that a particular person, let's say a high-profile individual that you see in media, that's how you know anything, or you see what you think they do, and you say, "Well, I don't think they are a Christian. So therefore," I mean, the implication is they're going to hell. Well, the Lord says you can't say that. That is not your judgment to make. The church also is very clear. They say that if a candidate is more likely to foster those God-given truths, sanctity of life, sanctity of marriage, freedom of religion, then even though he himself may not be a Christian, perhaps he's Jewish, perhaps he's even Islam. Well, I shouldn't say even, I say he's Islam. If in fact his approach to governing is closer to the alternatives, then that's what you gauge your vote on. Now, if somebody tells me they're a Christian, And I look at their behavior and I say, oh boy, I got some questions on that. I don't understand that. I still can't take it that next step and say, I don't know about that. I'm going to have to judge him. I can't do that. I can say, gee, his behavior raises a lot of questions for me. And that's typically, I think, what is happening with Donald Trump. And this is not a political show. I'm just using him because he's the one that gets most often accused because he's building a wall. And that wall supposedly is blocking people from freedom of movement and coming to. Now, his rationale, you can agree with it, you can disagree with it. His rationale is, yeah, but in and among that are human traffickers, drug dealers, gang members. Now, that's a given. There's no question about that. We know that. So the question then becomes, well, what's the wall for then? Is it to protect from that? Or is it to simply say, you people aren't welcome here? That's something that people of goodwill can debate. But you can't look at it and say, therefore, I declare his conduct unchristian-like, and therefore I declare him unchristian. That's when George Romney was running against Barack Obama in 2012. There are many Christians who do not view the religion of Latter-day Saint as Christians. All right? So then would George Romney be someone that a Catholic couldn't vote for? Well, of course not. Because at that time, George Romney's view of the moral issues that are near and dear to the Catholic Church's teaching and Christ's teaching were much closer than the other candidate, by their own admission. One more point, and I'll go back to your calls. There's some confusion where people say, you can vote for a pro-choice candidate. You are not prohibited from voting for a pro-choice candidate. And that is true. However, it must be understood. If that pro-choice candidate is a better alternative for the sanctity of life perspective as opposed to the other candidate, in other words, for example, that pro-choice candidate would say, I believe that there should be certain, in fact, limits to a free abortion license. Oh, my wife just corrected me. It's Mitt Romney, not George Romney. George Romney is that his dad? Mitt Romney. Thanks, honey. At least I know my wife's listening. In fact, you can vote for someone who says, yeah, I'm totally pro-choice, but the last 3 months, no. Whereas the other candidate says, I'm totally pro-choice all the way. Then as a Catholic, you can vote for that pro-choice candidate because he's willing to at least put limits on it. He's the alternative that is closer to Catholic teaching. All righty. Don's questioning this from Watertown, Massachusetts. I've been there. Been to Watertown. Rains a lot there. Hey, Don.
Hey. First of all, I just want to say, in terms of judging the Christianity of the level of the candidates, there is no evidence that Trump is a Christian. I don't think he's ever seriously claimed to be.
Oh, yes, he has. Oh, gosh. Wait a minute. I'm going to interrupt you, Don. Oh, for heaven's sakes, yes. He's come out in so many ways. He just recently said, somebody asked him, I admire you. You're the most admired person. And he turned to him and he said, oh, no. The most admired person is Jesus Christ. That was just recently. Oh, no.
Okay, well, that certainly proves he's a Christian, doesn't it?
Well, it doesn't prove anything.
It's funny. When did he convert? When do you think he converted? Because he gave no evidence or never said he was a Christian or a person who attended the church.
I don't think there's anything he could say, Don, that you're going to believe. I don't think there's anything he can say that you're going to believe. But if you go back and you do a search for his comments, he has clearly spoken many times about God, about Christ. He has. Now, you can say, oh, that's just politics. He's playing to his base.
No, he's shown us. He's held up a Bible after he cleared out peaceful protesters.
All right. Well, I'm not going to. You really don't want to interchange with any evidence. I'm telling you, he said all kinds of things, and you're saying, no, he's not a Christian because I declare it so. You got to be real careful about that, Don. You got to be real careful. This is Dr. A taking a break. I get fired up. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number to call. Get on the program. Thanks.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Research shows that when families openly live and share their faith together, they're more able to respond positively to the challenges they face every day.
So if you're looking for help in creating that joyful place where each member of your family experiences life as a gift from God, then you will want to check out our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide for Raising Faithful Kids.
You can find this book on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I'm operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well, even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from an automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000. And they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted. But I want you to know, I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful, the sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful, came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And Styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Call to Communion.
Through EWTN Radio, we talk to audiences all over the world. One thing I've found out is everybody in the whole world has the same set of questions. They live the same human life. They all want meaning. They all want love. They all want significance. They want forgiveness. That's the most fascinating thing to me. The same answers work wherever you are throughout the world, because we're all children of God.
Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders. This afternoon, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Dr. Rigorindi, thank you for joining me. You know how old I am? I'm gonna tell you how old I am. I am so old, I can remember going through a whole day without taking a picture of anything. Yeah, I don't know. Boy, I'll tell you what, there's a hornet's nest stirred up here. And this bothers me. This truly bothers me. Because first of all, you know, this is not a political show. This is a show that is attempting to get people to think logically, reasonably, charitably about all kinds of things. Now, here's a second question, which, why doesn't our president show his Christianity? Now, I follow politics very closely, and I got to tell you, if you just judge on speaking, talking about it, his wife, who's Catholic, you got to at least acknowledge he has been more upfront. Go to Father Frank Pavone, priest for life. He'll tell you unabashedly, Donald Trump is the most pro-life president he's ever seen. He knows him. So I'm going to look at the guy and I'm going to go, yeah, well, you say those things, but I don't believe you. Well, then, okay, then just say I don't believe you. Don't say you're not. Mike, make your point here. Why do you think that he's not showing that he believes? Mike, Tallahassee, Florida. Yo, Mike.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Okay, sir. Why do you think he doesn't show or at least talk like he believes?
I don't question President Trump's question of his Christianity. I went through Catholic school, still a Catholic, been a devout Catholic, as followed the teachings as great as I can, you know, came from an Italian Catholic family. The one thing that I'm having trouble struggling with were two things. One, with the gay civil marriage or whatever you want to call it. And then the other thing is with President Trump. You know, when we went through our Catholic teachings and our Christianity teachings, it's the way you express your teachings is not by holding up the Bible or a rosary or proclaiming yourself as a Christian, because that is against, really, I mean, it's great to proclaim yourself as a Christian, but it's really in how you present yourself and how you're living the Bible, you're living the faith and presenting yourself. And it's very aggravating, but it's also depressing to me that Donald Trump does not do that. He is not presenting a Christianity.
What would you have him do, Mike? Mike, what would you have him do? What is it that you say if you have Father Frank Provone and most Catholics saying he's the most pro-life president we've ever had? He most openly speaks of God and Christ all the time. What is it that he's doing that you say he's a hypocrite?
I'm not saying he's a hypocrite. I'm saying
sure he is.
That
if he professes it but doesn't live it, he's a hypocrite.
Okay, if you want to use that word, I don't like how he bullies. I don't like how he talks against people. He uses foul language as our president.
And I don't like that either.
That is not a Christian.
Okay.
That's not what we do as Christians.
All right, stop. You're right. However, given whatever policies, whatever people he's put in charge, he's put devout Christians in charge all over the place. He nominates Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court, the most outwardly Catholic nominee in forever. Now, if you're going to say, well, yeah, he uses foul language, he cusses, he's a bully, he's like a New York construction guy, I don't like that. Well, okay, you don't like the way his personality manifests itself. I got that. I think that's going to be one of the main reasons people are going to vote against him. I got that. My question is, you have to look at not only him, but the people around him. Health and Human Services. I hate when I blank on names. Andrew, who's the name of the former neurosurgeon? Ben Carson. Ben Carson. Oh, my gosh, Carson is a major league Christian. He's put all these people in positions. I think Pompeo's a Catholic. So if you look at that, you got to say, well, all right, I don't like the guy. But why would he surround himself with people who think like that if he's not a Christian? That's my argument, Mike. But what you say is, unfortunately, what's going to happen in this election, people are not going to look at what matters in terms of Catholic beliefs and God-given teaching. And they're going to look at, I just don't like his personality. That's what it's coming down to. All right, let me see. Okay, Martin from Houston, Texas says, pro-life is important, but there are a lot of other issues. Martin, I got a question for you. Okay, you think that the pro-life question is a one-issue voter type thing, right? Would you acknowledge that? Martin, you there?
Yes.
Yo.
Yes,
okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so that if somebody says, I can't vote for someone who says it's okay to crush a baby's skull as it's being born, no matter what else they believe, I cannot vote for someone who says they want to make that the law of the land. Okay. And you say, well, that's only one issue. There's a lot of other issues. There's immigration, foreign policy, minimum wage, all kinds of issues. Martin, I got a question for you. If a politician said, I put forth these policies, and you say, I agree with every single thing he says. But then he also said, and I also believe I would like to introduce a law making slavery okay. If you wish to have a slave and the slave wishes to be with you, we're going to have a law. Slavery will no longer be outlawed. Would you say, well, you know, that's only one issue. That's just one issue. I agree with them on everything else. Would you? Would you vote for the guy, Martin?
Probably not, but that's,
right.
That's an
See,
extreme example.
You are a one-issue voter, Martin. It just depends on the issue.
I'm not a one-issue. I'm pro-life, and I don't like the you know, the way abortion is handled in the United States. But you know, there's his the way he has handled himself the last 4 years, and I can tell you that I've been conservative, I've been a Republican, but I just consciously I cannot vote for him. Because
okay, that's fine.
There's a lot more issues.
Martin, what are you voting for then? Martin, hold on. Stop. What are you voting for then? If you say, I can't vote for him, which is, of course, your decision, what then will you be voting for? Will you be voting for someone who says the law of the land should be, no exceptions, abortion all the way to the time the baby's coming out of the womb, and furthermore, if that baby survives a botched abortion, we can let it die. Would you vote for that as a Catholic?
I don't think, but probably not. But I don't think Biden is that type. Is going to be that type of a president.
But that's exactly what they have said. That if we're going to take people at their word, like everybody says, you got to take Trump at his word. If we're going to take him at their word, that's what they've said. They have said that. They've come out and said it. Kamala Harris, and I don't want to get political here. I'm just talking from the church's moral teaching. Kamala Harris says she wants abortion to be the law. I'll tell you, Martin, I got to tell you this. From a psychologist's perspective, from a reasonable, I don't understand people who say they're Catholic, who say I believe in the teachings of the Catholic Church, and then who simply can say, I'm not voting this way because I don't like this person. I'm going to vote that way, even though that person is the most pro-abortion person ever to run for office. Ever. No limits on abortion at any time, up to birth, after birth. But I'm Catholic and I can vote for that because, well, you know, there's other issues. I don't understand it. It just boggles my mind. It is one issue. It just happens to be, Martin, that babies are like a really important issue. If you think it's okay to kill a baby, what else is equal to it? Martin, thank you. God bless you. I know I talked there. I gotta take a break.
Religious freedom and healthcare and the right to life are under the greatest attack in American history. Right now, Catholic healthcare and the pro-life movement hang in the balance. My name is Lewis Brown, Executive Director of the Christ Medicus Foundation, and we are leading a new movement to defend religious freedom and civil rights in healthcare and to build the culture of life. We need your help now more than ever. Join this movement. Go to religiousfreedomandhealthcare.org. That's religiousfreedomandhealthcare.org.
How does freedom affect our actions? According to the Catholic Catechism, freedom makes us responsible for every act that we have directly willed. Despite her efforts to place all the blame on the serpent, Eve was directly responsible for initiating and committing original sin. She knew God had forbidden her to eat from the tree of good and evil, yet she did it anyway. Cain deliberately killed his brother Abel. King David deliberately committed both adultery and murder. None of the three were ignorant of the gravity of their acts, and there were no mitigating circumstances that diminished their responsibility. However, David was particularly remorseful when confronted with his guilt. The Catechism tells us that the right to the exercise of freedom, especially in moral and religious matters, is an inalienable requirement for the dignity of the human person. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at avemariaradio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to avemariaradio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
I'm walking a thin line here. My goal always has been to help people as best I can anyway. Think better, look at things more logically. I'm getting a lot of calls up here that are saying, I can't vote for Trump because of this. One issue. Because of this. Okay, then most people are one-issue voters. And if you're saying I can't vote for him because of his personality, that's a one issue. I don't like the way he talks. I don't like the way he comes across. I don't like the way he bullies. There it is. You're not voting for a pastor for your country. You're voting for someone who has policies that you think might do well. Now, I'm not sitting here as a Catholic telling you how to vote. I'm telling you, if you call yourself a Catholic and you want to follow the church's teachings, then the church is pretty clear on what things matter in your vote. And if you say, well, I don't think so, then all you're doing is you're saying, well, I'll agree with the Catholic Church when I feel like it, and when I don't, I won't. So be real careful about that one. Because that's when you stand before God and say, well, I agreed with you most of the time, you know, I did. And God's going to say, well, you didn't agree with my church. Well, I didn't believe that your church was speaking for you. Well, history of Christianity is that Jesus established a church. That's history. There's no question about that. You may not like the church, but he did. And it's still here. And it still has authority. I'm really truly stunned by people who say I can't do this because of this. And I think to myself, okay, if you're gone by personalities, look at the other personalities too then, because those personalities aren't lily white either. Oh, heavens. I want to talk to this is going to be I want to talk to Derek. One more. Hi Derek, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Okay, sir. What's up?
Well, I keep watching the media, and I just can't believe what I'm seeing. And I hate to feel this way, but I really feel like the enemy has infiltrated the media and is leading people astray. And I wondered how you felt about that.
There was a cardinal who wrote a letter. And he wrote it to President Trump, and President Trump accepted the letter, which for those people who say Trump's not a Christian. And in the letter, the cardinal said, you're dealing with light and dark. You're dealing with good and bad. Now, that was the cardinal's opinion. It was the cardinal's view. I have to tell you, from my perspective, I struggle to understand how some people think who proclaim themselves faithful Catholics. I can't wrap my head around it. It would be easier for me if they said, no, I'm not a Catholic, or I'm a Catholic on my terms. I got that. I do. Okay, that makes sense. I can't argue with you. But don't tell me you're a faithful Catholic, and then you turn around and are shaped by what you hear from the media, who clearly doesn't like the Catholic Church. Clear. Anybody who's paid any attention to the media is got to conclude the media hates, and I use that word, the Catholic Church. Why? Because she has morals. Because she has sexual morals that go counter absolutely to the way the culture thinks. You're right, Derek. I don't understand it, but I will tell you this. Never in my life, never have I seen such vile enmity from those who look at, and I'm going to say it, from those who look at people with traditional moral values. And just, it's not I disagree with you. It's you're evil, and you deserve to be destroyed. I mean, I've seen it. It's there. It's all over the place. It's in my immediate world here with people I know. They tell me horror stories of people coming up to them and just viciously trashing them. Why? I don't understand it, Derek. Yeah, and you're right. I for believers, could be a lot to explain. I appreciate it. I don't have enough time to go any further. Boy, I got some text. I got some text from my wife. And from Adrienne. My heavens. I think there's an awful lot of self-righteousness going on here.
I'm not like that guy. He's not worth listening to.
A lot of self-righteousness. But I think if you're going to use that judge, if you're going to judge that way, you got to judge all candidates that way. If that is your measuring stick. All right. Where's my Valium? Thanks for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Oh, walk with God. And do your best to listen to him and his church, if that's what you believe.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.